as Krishna said, Ajo Pisan Navyatma, Bhutanam Ishvaro Pisan, Prakritim Swam Adishtaya, Sambhavam Yatma Maya. Although I'm unborn, Krishna says, and although I appear in every millennium. So although Krishna is unborn, still he comes once in a day of Brahma. I believe it's the 29th cycle of the different yuga cycles. And in the, I guess now we're in the, who's the Manu now? Svayambhuva Manu, it's Vivashvata Manu. And the 29th cycle of the Vivashvata Manu, once in a day of Brahma. Brahma lives for Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, Ahuryad Brahmano Vidu, Yatra Yuga Sahasrantam, Teho Yatra Vidojana. That a 1,000 ages taken together. One age is 4,300,000 years. So 1,000 ages taken together is 4,300,000,000 years. Once in a day of Brahma, once every 4,300,000,000 years, Krishna appears. So although it may seem like a long time ago, 5,000 years ago, but in terms of cosmic time, it was just a moment ago Krishna appeared. And when Krishna appears, it's not that he takes birth, because Krishna is eternal. Actually, we're all eternal. But we appear in different material bodies, while Krishna appears in his own body, his self, same body. Therefore, his body is Angani Yasya Sagalendriya Vriti Manti Pashanti Pashanti Chanti Tiram Jaganti Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govindam Adi Purushantam Hangvajami. So, Lord Brahma, he gives us much information about Lord Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. This Brahma Samhita and other literature is all the Vedic literature, Krishna says, is searching after me. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etad bhutva buddhivatsyan krita kritashtabharata. That the most confidential part of all the Vedic literature is disclosed to Arjuna, that anyone who knows that confidential part will become wise and his endeavors will know all perfection. So what is that confidential part? Who's giving the quiz today? Who's giving the quiz? Oh, okay. So you know what the confidential part is? Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. That anyone who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore they engage in full devotional service without any doubt. So this is the whole object of everything we're doing is to know Krishna. So we'll begin with reading this verse from the Brahma Samhita, which tells us something about Krishna. This is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Brahma Samhita. Paribhasa Sutra is the verse in which all the other verses are centered around. Does anyone know the Paribhasa Sutra in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, ete changsa kula punsam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokan mridyanti yuge yuge. And the Paribhasa Sutra in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Good. And in Bhagavad Gita. Maybe, I don't know if there. Prabhupada indicated that the verse of the Paribhasa Sutra is Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Tyaktvadeham Panarjanma Naiti Mam Eti Sarjana. That anyone who knows the truth about my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains my transcendental abode. Of course, the method of knowing in truth is Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratidani priyosime. So we'll read this verse. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachitananda Vigraha. Anadi Adir Govinda. Sarva Karna Karnam. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Sachitananda Vigraha. Anadi Adir Govinda. Sarva Karna Karnam. Ishvara Parama Krishna. By the way, today is also Lord Jagannath's appearance day because he's Krishna. One time I asked Prabhupada, when I became a pujari, first thing I did when I moved into the temple, they made me the head pujari. That was even before I was initiated. I didn't even know who the deities were. So after I moved in at the beginning of 1969, and I was initiated, and then Prabhupada came to Buffalo, and I believe it was something like in April or something. So then I asked Prabhupada who Lord Jagannath was. And Prabhupada said, because I was his pujari, so I figured I didn't want to worship some demigod or something. So Prabhupada said, Lord Jagannath, and he thought for a moment, he said, oh, he's Krishna. So also it's his appearance day. He's Krishna, but he's Krishna in a form of ecstasy, thinking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So that's why if you keep on thinking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, you'll start looking like Lord Jagannath after some time. I mean, at least at part, you'll have a big smile. And also Lord Baladev, he's an expansion of Krishna, so we can also, because it's he appeared a little bit earlier. So here it says, Ishvara. Ishvara, the controller, Parama, Supreme, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Sat, comprising eternal existence, Chit, absolute knowledge, Ananda, an absolute bliss, Vigraha, whose form, Anadi, without beginning. Adi, the origin. Govinda, Lord Govinda. Sarva Karna Karnam, the cause of all causes. Translation purport by His Divine Grace purport is by His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no origin, no other origin, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. So Krishna says, Tatvataha, if you know me in truth, but obviously there's a lot to know about Krishna. It is not that, Prabhupada said, just a few minutes work and then we know Krishna. Krishna is unlimited to know the cause of all causes, the origin of everything. It requires a great deal of studying, penance, and devotion to Krishna. And the primary method of getting to know Krishna is by the process of hearing submissively and then trying to understand Krishna in truth by the process of devotional service to Krishna. Just hearing itself, of course, for one who's very advanced, by hearing one will realize Krishna. But if we don't realize Krishna simply through the process of hearing, then we also have to engage in different types of activities by which we can become purified. And as we become purified, then our ability to actually experience Krishna will increase just by hearing about him. So here is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's purport. You have to pay attention, because this language is not our, even if someone's language is English, it's not easy to understand. what to speak if someone's first language is not English. But still, it's just hearing the purport, we can get certainly an appreciation for Radha Gopinath. By the way, Lord Gopinath is Krishna too. Krishna is the exalted supreme entity, having his eternal name, eternal form, eternal attribution, and eternal pastimes. The very name Krishna implies his love-attracting designation, expressing by his eternal nomenclature the acme of entity. In other words, Krishna Supreme. His eternal, beautiful, heavenly, blue-tinged body, glowing with the intensity of ever-existing knowledge, has a flute in both his hands. He only has one flute in both his hands. Rather than a flute in both his hands, he has one flute in both hands. As his inconceivable spiritual energy is all extending, still he maintains his all-charming medium size by his qualifying spiritual instrumentals. His all-accommodating supreme subjectivity is nicely manifested in his eternal form. The concentrated all-time presence, uncovered knowledge, and inebriating felicity have their beauty in him. The mundane manifested portion of his own self is known as all-pervading Paramatma, Ishvara, Supreme Lord, or Vishnu, all-fostering. Hence it is evident that Krishna is the sole supreme Godhead. His unrivaled or unique spiritual body of super-excellent charm is eternally unveiled with innumerable spiritual instrumentals, senses, and unreckonable attributes, keeping the signifying location properly, adjusting at the same time by his inconceivable conciliative powers. Did anyone understand that? I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wrote this because sometimes there was some prejudice that the devotees were not very scholarly or scholarly. So his language, I think, is an attempt to prove that the devotees also could use very scholarly language in their presentation. It means Krishna all his senses are interchangeable and he's present everywhere, but he keeps everything more or less consistent. This beautiful spiritual figure is identical with Krishna, and the spiritual entity of Krishna is identical with his own figure. In other words, Krishna and his body are the same. Now we are identifying ourselves with this body, but we're actually different from the body. But when Krishna identifies himself with his body, there's no difference between his body and himself. So in our present state, it's a little inconceivable, because this body is more or less an object of our attention rather than ourselves. But that's natural for us, practically speaking, because even in the spiritual world, our main focus is not ourselves, our main focus is Krishna. So here in the material world, instead of our main focus being Krishna, we've simply made a different deity, that's all. It's called the body. That's our deity, the body and the mind. The emotions of the body, called the mind and the body. So we're always worshipping some deity. Either we worship Krishna or we worship the body. It just depends on us which deity we want to worship. The very intensely blended entity of eternal presence of felicitous cognition is the charming targeted holding or transcendental icon. Can anyone explain that? It follows that the conception of the indistinguishable formless magnitude, Brahman, which is an indolent, lax presentment of cognitive bliss, is merely a penumbra of intensely blended glow of three concomitants, namely blissful, the substantive, and the cognitive. The transcendental manifestive icon Krishna, in his original face, is primordial background of magnitudial infinite Brahman and of the all-pervasive oversoul. Krishna is truly visioned in his variegated pastimes, such as the owner of transcendental cows, chief of cowherds, consort of milkmaids, ruler of the terrestrial abode, Gokul, an object of worship by transcendental residents of Goloka, beauties, is Govinda. He is the root cause of all causes, who are the predominating and predominated agents of the universe. The glance of his projected fractional portion in the sacred originating water, namely the personal oversoul of Paramatma, gives rise to a secondary potency, nature, who creates this mundane universe. This oversoul's immediate energy brings forth the individual souls analogously to the emanated rays of the sun. This book is the treatise of Krishna, so the preamble is enacted by chanting his name in the beginning. So this manifested world, as it explains here, is a manifestation of Krishna's expansion, namely Paramatma or Vishnu. And from Vishnu, these souls are put into the world. Sarva yonashi konteya mortayak sambhavanti ya tasad brahma mahad yonir aham bija prajapita. So Krishna is the original father of all of the entities. And therefore, actually, today we're celebrating our father's birthday. He's the original father. If we're looking for the origin, just like everyone has a father and mother, and everyone's father and mother had a father and mother. So if we trace back the origin far enough, we won't come to a monkey or a mouse or a rock or the void. We'll come to Krishna. So in one sense, everyone is intimately related to Krishna. He's the original father, and everyone's part of his family. He has a big family. Therefore, when Prabhupada said that at Dwarka, he had 16,108 queens, and each queen had 10 sons. So that was 168,000 sons. And also he had one daughter from each one of the 16,108 queens. But Prabhupada said that it seems like quite an amazing manifestation of sons and daughters. And some people may think it's mythological. How is it that Krishna could have possibly married 16,108 queens and lived with each one of them simultaneously? But the fact is that this is just a little infinitesimal fragment of Krishna's potency. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad orjitam eva va tattareva gajatsotvam mamate jangsa sambhavam. I know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. So when Krishna expands himself as 16,108 queens, it is just a little fragment of his energy. After all, he's not only living with 16,108 queens simultaneously, but he's also living with each one of us simultaneously. Every living entity, all the Indra-Gopa germs up to Indra, and all the universes, Krishna is simultaneously present in each one of our hearts as Paramatma, and this universe is only one-fourth of the creation of the Supreme Lord. All these universes taken together. So there is no one more expert at personal relationships than Krishna. After all, even if we have one or two relationships, we find it hard to keep them together. But Krishna has quadrillions of relationships, and he keeps them together forever. So Krishna is quite expert. And of all the different manifestations of Krishna, and of all the different expansions of Krishna, the original form of Krishna, Krishna holding a flute, surrounded by his friends, that there's no manifestation which is more attractive than this form of Krishna. And so Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, or actually in the Brahma Samhita, he describes his abode, and in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives us some hint that if we get to know Krishna, then all our problems will be solved. In the material world, is a struggle for existence. It's called Karshati. Everyone is struggling. And the solution that Krishna gives is just to know him. One time one man was talking to Srila Prabhupada saying, but my mind, sometimes we may be thinking like that too, but my mind. And Prabhupada said, well, the only thing I have to offer to you is this chanting of Hare Krishna. You know, please take it. In other words, although it may seem very simple, that if we simply know Krishna, then all our problems are solved. Sometimes the devotees, they think they have very complicated problems. Psychological, physical, whatever else. But, and then if we tell someone, chant Hare Krishna as a solution to the problem, people will think, well, that's quite simplistic. That we must have something deeper to explain our problems. But factually, if we could chant Hare Krishna, we wouldn't have any problem because we wouldn't have a material body. Nor would we have a material mind. Our whole problem is based upon the fact that we have a material body and mind. And out of all the problems of having a material body and mind, that Krishna says that janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha nudarshana, birth, old age, disease and death, these are the greatest problems. But Krishna says tyaksva deha panar janma naiti mam eti sorjana, that one who understands his janma, his birth and his karma and his activities in tatvataha by actual experience, then he no longer has a body, material body and mind. But he comes to the spiritual platform and he doesn't have to take birth again in the material world. So of course we know, Krishna says, bhakti amam abhijanandi yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishite tat anantaram, that one can know me in tatvataha, in truth, by the process of devotional service. And devotional service is summed up with simply asking Krishna to engage us in his and Krishna's energy, Srimati Radharani, to engage us in their loving service. So our whole advancement in devotional service depends nothing more than simply our sincere desire to engage in Krishna's loving service. So that means service with love, and the process of Krishna consciousness movement is to give people the opportunity to practice loving service to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami priyatatmanaha, that if we offer Krishna with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, some flower, some water, then Krishna will accept it. Or yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat shahosi didasi yat yat tapasi konteyat tat kurushva manarpanam. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we offer and give away, as well as all austerities that we may perform, should be done as an offering to Krishna. So the first verse, patram pushpam palam toyam, means that the essential quality of whatever we're doing is that there is some bhakti. So bhakti means bhakti to Krishna, love to Krishna, and that means that we have to understand that Krishna is a person. Just like we're a person, so God is also a person. Prabhupada used to say, what did God do so bad that he can't be a person? It is very difficult for many people to accept that God can be a person, because that would mean he'd be such a big person that he'd be so big, people think, that you couldn't go far enough away from him to see what he looked like. That's the. But here in Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda's purport, it explains that by Krishna's inconceivable energy, although he is so big, after all, from his pores of his body, universes emanate. So that he must be quite big. But still, by his inconceivable energy, he can appear before us in the form of Radha Gopinath, just suitable to our vision. So although Krishna is called a Chintya Shakti, his inconceivable energies. Unless God had Achintya Shakti, then how could he be God? And unless he was a person, how did we all become persons? And unless Krishna has everything within his creation, how did his creation come about? Unless fire has heat and light, where does the heat and light come from? So we can understand what the source of energy is, or we can understand what the source of the energy is by understanding the energy. The source has to have everything that the energy has, plus it may have more. Similarly, whatever we see around us must be contained within Krishna, and yet Krishna may have even more than what we can perceive. Therefore, we can take it for granted that whatever we're attracted to presently, since it's already come from Krishna, then Krishna must have that within him, plus he has so much more. Therefore, Krishna is known as Krishna because he's all attractive, because we're already attracted to so many things. So if we become factually conscious of Krishna, then we'll become naturally attracted to him. So that's why this is called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It's a movement to help us become conscious of Krishna and through the process of devotional service. Devotional service, Prabhupada is defined as the art of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So the art of focusing one's attention is to see the form of Krishna in the temple, to hear about Krishna from the devotees, principally those two things. That for one, the deity can appear within us, in our mind, simply by the process of hearing, or by seeing the form of Krishna in the temple, we can think about, see the form, and if we see Krishna's form enough, then one day will come, we'll always think of Krishna's form. So that is also one of the deities. There are different types of deities, made out of stone, or wood, or paint, or carved, put in the sand, or made out of marble, or other types of metal. And there is also the deity within the mind. So this deity within the mind, this is called mantra upasana. So we have so many mantras, Vishekatma. We have so many mantras, and these mantras are meant to help us install the deity within the mind, Krishna within the mind. As we said, manmana bhava madbhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyosi Me. Krishna's advice is that we should always think of him. And think of him how? Prabhupada has explained, we should think of him as principally the form as Krishna, the son of Mother Jasoda, a cowherd boy. And with a peacock feather in his hair, and he holds a flute, and he's a tender of cows, transcendental Sarabi cows. Chintamani prakarasadmasu kapa vriksha laksha ritesu surabir abhipalyantam lakshmi sahasra sambrahma sevyamanam govindam adi purushantamahang vajami. So some people, they think that God is very fearful, a fearsome person, and that he's sitting on some throne and condemning people to death or giving them harps and to play on or trumpets. Generally not a very attractive person. But Krishna is actually just a simple cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Therefore it says, according to our philosophy, that what is that? Aradyo Bhagavan Rajesha Tanustadhama Vrindaranam Ramna Kinchit Rajavadu Vargena Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Maha Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Idam Tatradaya Napara. That our worshipful Lord, Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanustadhama Vrindaranam, is this cowherd boy in Vrindavan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And his abode, Vrindavan, where he lives, along with all its residents, are also worshipable. And Ramna Kinchit Vrajavadu Varganava Kalpitaha, there is no method to worship Krishna better than that of the gopis. So how do the gopis worship Krishna? Besides the devotional service that they rendered to Krishna, they were constantly absorbed in thinking of Krishna. So this worship is natural if we fall in love with Krishna. Just as Krishna had left the gopis and he had gone to Mathura, so at that time Uddhava, he came back and he gave a message to the gopis who were feeling great separation from Krishna. The cowherd boys, the calves, the gopis, Mother Jasoda, Nanda Maharaj, practically they had stopped living at a separation from Krishna, only because of Krishna had sent his internal energy, Yogamaya, that they had maintained their lives in their bodies. Otherwise, if Krishna had not done that, they would all have left their bodies. In the one book by Rupa Goswami, one play, Vidagdha Madhava, it says that Radharani, she had a separation from Krishna, Radharani and her friends. They enter into the Jamuna to put an end to their existence. But when they entered into the Jamuna, the sun god came and took them. And the sun god then gave those two girls to, what was the name of? Satyajit. Satyajit. So who was that Satyajit's daughter? So who is Satyabhama in Krishna's pastimes? Yes, Radharani. So that's how Satyajit got Satyabhama, because the sun god had taken Radharani and given her to Satyajit. So in Krishna's in Dwarka, Radharani is Satyabhama. And also there was another daughter that was taken away, or another Chandravali. So who is Chandravali in Krishna's in Dwarka? Rukmini. So one girl was, I guess, Lalita, and the other was Radharani, and then some demon had stolen from Vrindavan Chandravali, and somehow or another she wound up in as the daughter of King Rukma. What was it, Rukmini's father's name? What's that? Bhishmaka, yes. He was given to the Bhishmaka. Anyhow, it was very intricate things, but factually speaking, they were all feeling such transcendental separation that they wound up in Dwarka. So they weren't separated from Krishna. At the same time, Radharani did remain in Vrindavan in another form, feeling separation from Krishna, but actually she was never really separated from Krishna because Krishna was living there in his bhava manifestation, in his form of pastimes of remembrance. So our goal is to come to this, to worship Krishna, and to come to the point of associating with Krishna in the form of constant remembrance of him. So this is what the gopis were doing. This is the perfection of our lives. And we're achieving it. There is something called mantra upasana. Upasana means worshiping the mantra. So just as in the Brahma Samhita's mantras, so these mantras are snapshots of that the sages have taken of the spiritual world. Nowadays we find people with cameras all over the place taking snapshots. So snapshots of Krishna are non-different from Krishna. So you can actually worship the snapshot of Krishna. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't worship the person also. I had one disciple. I was doing the marathon one time in one country, and I had a disciple living in the same room with me. So I noticed that every day, every evening before we took rest, he'd worship. I had a photo, so he'd offer something to my photo. He never asked me for anything. So, So I was thinking if I was my if I was the photo, I'd get more service from. Unfortunately, I'm not so absolute that I could appreciate the service that he's offering to the photo. But Krishna is not like that. That if you offer service to Krishna's photo, he could actually appreciate it. So snapshots of Krishna can be they're worshipable, just as Krishna is worshipable. So similarly, the mantras about Krishna, which are the more or less written descriptions of the what are the sages perceiving in meditation, sages such as Lord Brahma, they're also worshipable, and if we meditate upon them, then we're actually associating with Krishna. So when that meditation becomes consistent and ever intense at the stage of past samadhi, in a Sarup city, then the result is one comes to the stage of sarasaki. Sarasaki means just like in the river Ganges, sometimes there's little lakes, and we can appreciate them, but the Ganges is also an ever-flowing river. So when the pastimes of Krishna ever flow through our heart, just like the Ganges, then we come to the state of sarasaki, and the difference is that the state of sarasaki, one gets Krishna's personal direct darshan. Instead of meditating upon Krishna with the mind, and more or less Krishna appearing within the mind in different forms, that Krishna personally comes and appears before the devotee who's meditating upon his pastimes in sarasaki. So that is the actual perfection of Krishna consciousness, and our process is hearing these mantras, especially the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Hare Krishna mantra is the mantra which is supposed to help us remember all the other mantras. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is a mantra. It is all because it's in relation with Krishna. Krishna is the Pavitram Paramam Uttamam. He's what's purifying. Prabhupada once wrote to a Gurukul student, Prabhupada was saying that we're learning math in school now. So Prabhupada said, oh, that's very nice that you're learning math. So just like 2 plus 3 is equal to 5, and 1 plus 4 is equal to 5, so Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So if you always remember Krishna, then you'll always be in Vrindavan. So I hope that your teachers are teaching you this mathematics. So this is the ultimate instruction, that somehow or another, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat, that somehow or another, fix the mind upon Krishna, add Krishna, and then everything else, all the other rules and regulations will automatically follow. So that's our major focus, how to connect everyone and everything to Krishna. And by connecting things to Krishna, of course, Krishna means, by remembering Krishna, we should simultaneously remember Krishna's form, his quality, his pastimes, his loving exchanges, and this absorption is called Krishna consciousness. And the absorption in such consciousness, why we're aiming for it, as it says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavi tamati, kriyatam kutopi labhyate, tatra loyam mulyam ekalam, janma koti sukritarna labhyate. That Krishna is the original source of all ananda, sachit ananda vigraha, of all pleasure, all awareness, eternally. So the goal of everyone, no matter who they are, if they analyze themselves carefully, they'll find out that they're looking to find out how to become perpetually happy. So Krishna, he's not only perpetually happy, but he's the source of perpetual happiness for everyone. So as people used to be looking for the fountain of youth, so the fountain of pleasure is Krishna. Rasa Vaisaha. He's the origin of all rasa, of all transcendental mellows. And so if we're looking for, what we're actually looking for is Krishna. As it says in the Krishna book, that everyone is searching for Krishna in his different forms. that the whole world is singing. The whole world, actually, everything is singing about Krishna. Everything, all the sounds are actually about Krishna, but people are understanding in different ways. That everyone is dancing with Krishna, but those who are dancing, trying to serve Krishna, they're dancing in his rasa dance. And those who are dancing, trying to imitate Krishna, they're dancing with Krishna's maya. So either directly or indirectly, everyone is dancing with Krishna. It simply remains with us whether we want to dance directly with Krishna in the rasa dance, or we want to dance imitating Krishna with Krishna's maya or illusory energy. So Krishna, he's very kind. 5,000 years ago, he came, because as it says, unless Krishna personally came, people would just imagine what Krishna's form would be like. We can see that although Krishna has personally come and displayed his pastimes, still people cannot accept God, because this is a place where people come to deny God. When Krishna, when Kamsa was informed that by Akrura that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Kamsa had personal experience of Krishna, he was simply wanted to deny Krishna's activities. He said, who is this Krishna? What is his power? Simply because he lifted one pebble, Govardhan Hill. What is this power of Krishna? You're saying he's God simply because he defeated one harmless water snake, Kaliya's serpent. Of course, later on he found out that this big elephant, Kulyavalpita, had been killed, and therefore he became a little disturbed. This is Kulyavalpita had strength of 10,000 elephants. And then he found out that the wrestlers, Mushtika, Chanura, Talya, Toshal, they had all been killed by Krishna. So his heart began to palpitate out of fear of Krishna. But still, he couldn't basically accept that Krishna was God. So a lot of people have that problem in the material world. Matter of fact, all of us, to some degree, have that same problem. As I mentioned before, one time Prabhupada was talking to his servant, and he said, one of the problems in the Krishna consciousness movement is that the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement don't believe in Krishna. So belief in Krishna, Krishna says, in tattvataha, it can only be had by the advancement of devotional service. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita has advised us to give up all other activities and simply to engage in his service. So this seems very difficult for most conditioned souls, that why is this man demanding that we surrender to him? And if we're going to work for him, what is our fee? What do we make an hour? Do we get any retirement benefits? Why is he demanding like this? You know. Couldn't he ask nicely, please surrender to me, at least, you know. Couldn't he ask in a pleasant way? Why is he demanding like this? Sarva, dharma, and parijaya. Give up everything. I was listening to a tape, and Prabhupada was on a morning walk in San Francisco in 1968, and he was saying, there was some conversation with one lady, one Mataji, who was devotee. And she said something like, you know, and they think, they worship the dogs, so they think that, you know, a dog is a person. So Prabhupada said a dog is a person. No, Prabhupada, you don't understand what I mean. You know, they worship him as actually, he's an actual person. So Prabhupada said he is a person. And then it was revealed later on in the conversation that she had a dog and she gave him up. That she became a devotee and she gave him away to some of her friends. So Prabhupada said, yes, he knows now that she's become a devotee. Now she's useless. She won't be able to serve me anymore. So got what I was trying to say. In any case, Krishna is a person, so we're all also persons, and we have a personal relationship with Krishna, And Krishna consciousness means to revive that relationship with Krishna. But because we don't believe in Krishna, therefore we have great difficulty. So Krishna consciousness is a process by which we can come gradually to accept not only that Krishna is a person, but he's the nicest person. Unless Krishna was unlimitedly nice, then it would be very hard for us to accept an unlimited person. If we found out that there was a person, he was in charge of everything, and that he was a mean person who didn't like us. We were the one person in the universe he doesn't like. Then we get into an anxiety, isn't that right? You found out there was a person controlling everything. He had all the keys to all the doors. And he wouldn't let us in. We began to feel a little disturbed. But if we find out that not only Krishna is a person, but he's an unlimitedly nice person, and that there's another person equally as nice, if not nicer than him, known as Srimati Radharani, and even if there's something wrong with Krishna, she's in control of him. Even if he gets out of hand, she'll take care of him. So we can develop hearing about Radha and Krishna, Radharani and Krishna. Soon we'll be celebrating her birthday, her appearance day. So we can have confidence that these are nice persons, and if we give them some service, it's not that it'll be in vain. People are always worried that if I'm going to do something, perhaps I won't get back some benefit. The fruit of worker, the jnani, they're always concerned whether or not they're making progress and profit. If one is actually a good vaishya, interested in profit, he's always counting how much profit do I have, whether this business is profitable. But as we know, no matter how profitable their business is, ultimately at the time of death, it's all taken away. And the only profit they get is the reactions to their activities to make their profit during this lifetime. And some of the profit may not be very enjoyable. Just like I may make so many millions or billions of dollars by selling cigarettes. I mean, some people do. So I may live very comfortably or seemingly relatively more comfortably during this lifetime. But what will happen in my next lifetime? Just like some devotees told me, they once met Colonel Sanders. Do you know Colonel Sanders? You don't know Colonel Sanders? Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. So they met him at the airport. And the unique thing about Colonel Fried Chicken, at this time he's in a wheelchair, but the devotee said he looked exactly like a chicken. And he was in such a state that he could only cluck. He couldn't speak very clearly. He would just go cluck, cluck, cluck. So Krishna was so kind, knowing well how many, who knows, quadrillions of births as a chicken this colonel would have to take, that Krishna is so kind he gave him his first birth already. Even in the self-same body he had become a chicken. So all this profit, of course, we get, that's the profit we get from our sinful activities. We get to take it with us. But if one is actually a greedy capitalist, as Ramananda Roy said, that he should invest all his energy in Krishna, because then he gets permanent results, which he never loses. So if we're actually greedy capitalists, we should invest everything in Krishna. If we want to know something, we should try to know about Krishna. So Krishna should be the focus of everyone's attention, because that will give one all benefit permanently. So by this understanding of Krishna consciousness as presented through the books of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada, the whole movement is simply to focus upon Krishna in a systematic way. To understand how nice Krishna is eventually in Goloka Vrindavan will not be so simple. If we want to know something about, for instance, the intimate pastime. If, for instance, if you want to know about the Prime Minister of Belgium, there's a Prime Minister of Belgium. What's his name? What's that? Devotees are very transcendental. So, if we want to know the Prime Minister of Belgium, you get a chance. First of all, you have to go and meet him. You may hear about him from others. You may go and meet him. But there may be some time before you get to know him intimately, so he invites you over for supper, meet his children. First of all, you should try and understand him, how he's doing, how he's acting, what he likes, what he doesn't like. And then after getting to know him, then we may know his family and other things that are more intimate. So similarly, if we want to know Krishna, the most immediate way of knowing Krishna is understanding how he's created this material world, because there are certain psychological problems that we all have. We're a little resentful of God, even though we may not know it. We may not understand very much about God. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya Mamupashitya Bhava Jnana Tapasa Putamad Bhavam Agata. Being free from attachment, from fear and anger. So these are the things that plague us in the material world. Attachment, fear and anger. And these are all due to our different misconceptions about God. Because of attachment, therefore, and fear and anger, therefore we don't engage in Krishna service. We are always in anxiety, more or less frustrated about the uselessness of all activities. And we fear our personal identity, spiritual identity. We're so much absorbed in this materialistic identity, we think that if I lose my material identity, then I've lost my identity. We're so much attached to this materialistic conception of ourselves that we're fearful of losing it. And because we're fearful of losing it, naturally we don't lose it. Krishna doesn't yank it away. You know, I'm taking your identity. No, give it back. No, I'm taking it away. No. So, on one side was saying, oh, Krishna gave me his service, and the other side were putting one finger over another, which at least in America signifies you don't really mean it. So we're fearful of losing this mundane existence, this mundane identity, thinking that if I lose this, I've lost everything. I'm just going to be 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary size, standing there naked, and we'll go, my God, look at him. What happened to you? I chant Hare Krishna sincerely, and look what happened, my God. He's naked. He's 1/10, he's lost everything. Give him some prasadam at least. So we're fearful of losing everything, 1/10,000th the size of Tibhiran's size. And then, you know, what is our identity? What are we supposed to do? You know, look at the all great God and go, my God. So we're fearful of a personal identity. We're afraid of, we don't actually believe in devotional service, that there's such a thing as simply serving out of love. Because we're so much absorbed in these material necessities. We're so much identified with matter. So these are the basic things we have to get over. And when we can get over these misconceptions, gradually we can rise up to the platform of bhava, where our real feelings towards Krishna will manifest. When our real feelings towards Krishna begin to manifest, then we can become situated in our position in relation with Krishna in the transcendental realm. So Prabhupada writes that the mission of the spiritual master is principally to help us overcome these three difficulties: the fear of a personal spiritual identity, the negligence of spiritual life, and the conception of void that arises, that gives rise to frustration. So unless we recognize that we're conditioned souls, if we try to jump immediately to Krishna's intimate pastimes, then it'll be very difficult to actually understand what these pastimes are all about while we're still in conditioned life. Of course, we should hear about how nice Krishna is. Just like one time Krishna, Mother Jasoda, he was in bed. Mother Jasoda always would tell Krishna pastimes before he'd go to sleep. Especially about Krishna, about Narayan killing the demons. So Krishna couldn't go to sleep unless he heard these pastimes of Narayan killing demons. So one day, Mother Jasoda, the day before Krishna, was going to be given charge of herding the cows. So Mother Jasoda was very worried, the calves at least. She was very worried that Krishna is going to go out by himself and he may get into difficulty in the forest, that Krishna may be feeling some anxiety before he takes rest about tomorrow he has to face this new challenge of going out and herding the calves. So she told him some stories. And at the end of the story, she said, "My dear Krishna, that my dear Kana, I know tomorrow you have to go and herd the calves in the forest, so I know you may be in a little anxiety, but I just want you to know that if you think of Narayan, he'll protect you. Because Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just take shelter of Narayan and everything will be alright." And a very slight smile appeared on Krishna's face before he took rest. So we should also follow in those footsteps of Krishna and understand how Krishna will protect us. Krishna will give us his shelter and Krishna will maintain us. And as we come through this different process of that, then gradually we'll feel connected with Krishna, and then we'll always be connected with Krishna in the most intimate way, always feeling very meek and humble in Krishna's association, always trying to be part of his loving transcendental entourage. So today is Krishna's appearance day, and Prabhupada has given us a very systematic approach to understanding Krishna. So if we try to understand that approach and to our, the best of our ability, try to execute Krishna consciousness, then gradually we'll be able to understand everything about Krishna in truth. It's not that we should not hear about other pastimes of Krishna. Krishna is in Vrindavan. He's playing on his flute. Venam kvanantam aravinda dalaya taksham bahavatam samasitam budasundarangam kandarpakoti kamani avishesha sobham govindam adi purushandhamahang vajami. So we should also hear about Krishna playing on his flute, blooming eyes like lotus petal, head bedecked with peacock feather. This is the most confidential of all knowledge, to meditate upon this form of Krishna. But in order to understand Krishna, to understand this form of Krishna in truth, then we have to go through the process of sadhana bhakti. And gradually, step by step, as we do that, then the same mantra that we may chant at the beginning, will there will be a different experience as we make progress. So we should follow the recommended process, devotional service. Prabhupada especially wanted us to have a regulated program of hearing and chanting about Krishna and to distribute Krishna to others. This distributing Krishna to others is a course of kirtan. So the general progression is to go from hearing to chanting, and by constantly chanting to remembering. So this remembrance is the perfection of Krishna consciousness, this constant remembrance of Krishna. So, this regulated hearing, this regulated chanting, trying to spread Krishna consciousness, this will actually bring us to the perfection of constantly remembering Krishna. We try to jump immediately to always remembering Krishna without sufficient hearing and chanting, we'll find it very difficult, if not impossible. So generally, Sanatana Goswami, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he's recommended this process of especially Kirtanayak Sadahari, always glorifying Krishna and learning how to do so by hearing. And if we do that, then very quickly we'll come to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. So as Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya says, Rajan Samsmritya Samsmritya Sambadami Mam Adbhutam Keshwarjana Punyam Rishami Chabam Hur Mahu Tatschar Samsmritya Samsmritya Rupam Yadbhutam Hare Vishmayo Me Maharajan Rishami Chamuhuramahu. So in the repeated remembrance of this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I'm taking pleasure, being thrilled at every moment, and remembering as well the wonderful form of Krishna, I'm becoming ever more struck with wonder, and I rejoice again and again. Yatra Yageshara Krishna, Yatra Pata Dunoradara, Tatra Shira Vijaya Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. So wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be victory, morality, extraordinary power and victory. So this is our process, to keep in touch with the instructions of Krishna coming down in the disciple succession. If we keep in touch with Krishna that way, serve him according to his directions, then there will certainly be for every one of us victory, morality, extraordinary power, and victory over the illusory energy. So, thank you. Are there any questions? Comments? Yes. What do you think you have to do to come to that platform? Yeah, yoga is chality manasa. That's Maya's business. It's always trick us. But then Krishna says, Tato yato nis chalati... that's good too. That shunara shunara paramet buddhya drita grihitaya atma samstamana kritva na kinshit api chintayat. That gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should situate oneself in trance by means of intelligence sustained with full conviction. Tato tato nischalati manakchanchalam astiryam tatastato niyam yaitat atmaneva vishamniyat. Wherever the mind wanders to, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So our mind will wander, but we have to practice bringing back under the control of the self into Krishna consciousness. So that just takes practice. Arjuna had the same problem. Arjuna said the same thing. He was saying, my mind. Krishna said, yeah, your mind. That's the problem, your mind. But he said, Abhyasena yogena tato mam... Shibhagana asam shayam mahabaho mano dur nigraham chalam abhyasena tukonteya vara agena chkriyate. It is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind of Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So we have to practice according to what the acharyas have asked us to do. And gradually we have to learn detachment from material conceptions. So that's, if we are voluntarily practicing, voluntarily giving up things that are not conducive to our devotional service, gradually, then gradually we'll get better. And someone who's gradually getting better, one time they'll get good. From there, they'll even get better than good. And it goes on eternally like that. Even Radharani, in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, she's thinking, I'm a neophyte. That I haven't quite got love of God yet. All the gopis think like that. That if I simply try and serve Krishna a little bit more sincerely, that the day will come that I'll get Krishna prema. So even the spiritual world, the general mood is that we've never really seen Krishna. Maybe we saw him for a moment, but it was just like a moment. We don't really know who Krishna is, but maybe one day we'll find out. So this mood is not a bad, that's even the mood in the spiritual world. Otherwise, if everyone thought, oh, Krishna, we saw him yesterday, you know. You know, he probably still has a peacock feather, you know. But that mood is there. So that's, in one sense, it's not bad. It's the mood of helplessness. That my only hope, hoping against hope, is Krishna. unless he gives me his mercy, unless the devotees give me their mercy, then I can't do it by myself. I'm finished. Not that I think, well, I don't really need Krishna. I'm so advanced already. I'm so powerful. You know, I have everything under control. And soon Krishna will come before me dancing. We think like that, then we're finished. So a little bit mood of helplessness, hopelessness, hoping against hope. That's the mood of Rupa Goswami. I have no qualification to chant Hare Krishna, nor am I attracted to the means of becoming Krishna conscious, nor am I even, but I'm hoping against hope that somehow or another I can get Krishna's mercy. So that's a good attitude. Then there's some possibility of making progress in that, with that attitude. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Brahma Samhita Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Janmasami Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.